I find myself preaching out of the Gospel of John again this week. That might not mean much to you. You might think, great, you pick a scripture every week, do your job. But it's something that I actually don't recall doing, preaching out of John 2 weeks in a row, let alone during Advent. Mind you, I certainly enjoy a lot of what the Gospel of John offers. I mean, in fact, chapters 13 and 14 have two of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. In John chapter 13, we see Jesus wash the feet of the disciples and look at us and say, go serve others too. It's a beautiful and powerful moment in the gospel. Or in John 14, one that I often have the honor of reading at memorial services, that word of hope when Jesus looks at the brokenhearted and says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me, for in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? This loving reminder of God's presence and Christ's willingness to be with us in the midst of our grief. I mean, this is some amazing and beautiful stuff. But in general, as a preacher, I tend to the other three Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these are my go-tos. I mean, Mark was written first in about the year 30, and really is some of the first stuff we ever see written about the story of Jesus that we still have. It's a wonderful resource. Matthew and Luke, written a little bit later, maybe about the year 80, using Mark as a resource and reference and some other pieces, some other sources that they draw the stories from. And then John wasn't put together until about after the year 100. I mean, it was put together by a community of believers living off by themselves in the desert who really had their own understanding of Jesus shaping what went into the gospel. Now, this doesn't make it any less significant or essential, but it shapes what we read and find in the words of the Gospel of John. And I'll tell you, Advent and Christmas affect gospel readings more than anything. So here we find this intersection of how the different gospels portray the birth of Jesus. Now, Matthew and Luke have the birth story. Between Matthew and Luke, Luke is certainly the most well-known. Thank you, Charlie Brown and Linus. But those two carry that traditional story we know. Then there's Mark. Mark doesn't even tell the birth story. He sort of hops right into the whole the kingdom of God is at hand thing. Right? Like, great, that's good to know, Mark. Thank you. And then John sort of sits in between the ones that tell the story and the one that doesn't, kind of sort of telling the birth story in a way. You see, as we talked about last week in John 1, oh, this beautiful poetry reflecting on the incarnation of the divine, the very essence of being of God becoming human. If you missed last week, please check out the sermon on the website. And Paul, thank you for always making them available that way. I appreciate that gift. I mean, the concept of God coming to be human is incredible and changes everything. So John has some important stuff to offer us that way. But for all its poetic and theological dynamism, John doesn't offer a very visual story. You know what I mean? Like, you can't build a nativity set with the Gospel of John. Luke has the donkey and the road trip. Oh, Luke has the shepherds and the angels and the swaddling cloths and the lying in a manger, all that stuff. Oh, Matthew has the wise men and the camel and the star. Great stuff there. I mean, these are the images that we have woven together to create the Christmas story as we remember and know and love it. But John doesn't really add anything to that story. If you look at the Gospel of John, he goes from this philosophical pondering to Jesus as a grown man. But there's something there for us at Christmas. Today, as we reflect on the light of the third candle, as we consider the love of Christmas, John has something important to say to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The words of John 3:16. You know, I'm actually approaching 1,000 unique sermons as a preacher. Sometime in the next year, I trip over that number. And I tell you, out of 1,000 sermons, this is only the second one I've ever preached on what is easily the most publicized and poster board quoted scripture in the entire Bible. I know pastors that don't preach without mentioning John 3:16, but this is only my second sermon on it. I'll confess to you, one reason I've created some personal space with this scripture is because of the way I often heard it used in my growing up. I was always bothered when this verse got trotted out as some sort of litmus test of faith. Ah, see, if you'll just believe what this verse says and accept Jesus, you'll have eternal life. Even as a kid, I'd start to wonder, what do you mean accept? And then my questions just got more thorough as I got older. I mean, while I'm asking questions, what do you mean by believe? And what are you saying this verse says? And what about people who believe other things? And now, in your vision of eternal life, what does that mean for the life we're currently living now? Oh, my list of questions is long when it comes to the way the scripture gets used sometimes. So basically, I was encountering this friction and this trouble, this uneasiness in almost everything I'd ever encountered with this scripture. And as we ask God to grant us peace this Advent season, I will tell you, this scripture has never been a great source of peace for me. Until this week. For just as we light a third candle today to bring our attention to love, that is what I was reminded of this week in this scripture. I'll tell you, one of our top values in our vision work as a congregation is we have asked, who does God want this congregation to be and what needs should we be meeting? As we did some of this work, and will continue to, of course, but one of the top vision needs that came to be so clear was this congregation offering to those around us and in our congregation a reframing and reclaiming of our relationship to Scripture. That we could know, embrace, and love what the Bible says. That we as a congregation, through Bible study and worship and conversation, might show the world that congregations with values like ours believe and proclaim as we do, not in spite of the Scriptures, but because of them. And that those of us who might have had a growing up where we heard Scriptures used in ways that didn't quite sit well with us can look at them and say, that doesn't mean I have to walk away from it. In fact, there are ways I can claim this and say, this is God speaking. We can faithfully read the Scriptures and not exclude people. We can faithfully read the Scriptures and not judge people. We can faithfully read the Scriptures and then not drown people in dogma. And I tell you, this Advent, I am reclaiming John. And it has everything to do with love. Now, a lot of times when we go to reclaim and reframe scriptures, there's a lot of Bible study that has to go along with it. We do that with a lot of verses people take out of context and try to apply a historical narrative or help understand how it sits in a bigger context. I tell you, my reclaiming and reframing of this scripture today does not require any complicated exegesis on the historical context of the text. It does not require any familiarity with the original Greek. It does not require an advanced degree or special reference books. All it takes to reframe the scripture. And honestly, I'm very embarrassed at how novel this was to me. It was like a beam of light broke through and was like, oh my gosh, I enjoy this scripture. All it takes is remembering the first six words. For God so loved the world. Too often when I've heard this scripture preached, the person up front sort of rushes through those first six words. You know, okay, God so loved the world, only begotten Son, believe in Him, eternal life, and that's where everything lands in the message. They rush through the first six words. But being that this is Advent, a time of waiting, a time of expectant anticipation, let's not rush, shall we? Let's not just rush to Jesus. I mean, we'll get there. Jesus is coming. But let's do what Mary does in the gospel stories. Let's take a moment and ponder and reflect and hold some words in our heart while we wait for Jesus. For God so loved the world. As I sat with those words, I remembered Jesus' entire arrival in that stable in Bethlehem. Jesus' entire arrival is based on those words, for God so loved the world. Christmas exists because of these words, for God so loved the world. And as I thought about it, those words come first. The world didn't have to accept Jesus for God to love it. God loved the world before there was a Jesus to accept. There was no litmus test, no magic words, no special prayer, no overly defined beliefs or dogmatic exam. God just loved the world. The whole world. That's where everything starts. And if we rush through these essential words, we will not fully appreciate Jesus when he gets here. And I want us to fully appreciate Jesus. Jesus deserves to be fully appreciated. God so loved the world. We don't get Jesus so that God will love us. We get Jesus because God already does love us. Jesus is not a prerequisite for God's love. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's love. And that is why I, like the authors of John, find life in Jesus. Just as God's love was fulfilled in Jesus, my life is made full because of the love that I see in Jesus. God doesn't love me more because of Jesus, but I am able to love more because of Jesus. Knowing we are loved by God invites us to engage the world from a place of hope and peace. And that's how God granted me peace this week. I was reminded that God loved the world. That God loves you, God loves me, not because of anything we say or anything we believe or anything we do, but simply because God loves the world. God loved the world and loves us without requirement. And Christmas, the arrival of Jesus, is a celebration of that love and a chance for us to see that love lived out. Or should I say it's a life that ours can even be like, should we choose. And it all starts with love. Amen.